So, the third and final heat of the mixed 4x400 metres relay. And then the Irish with that strong shot. Chris O'Donnell on the opening leg, Phil Healy on leg two, Charlene Maudsley on leg three, and Thomas Barr, 400 metre hurdler. So it's Ireland, Great Britain and Brazil, 1-2-3 at the moment. What a run this is from Phil Healy. Boy, oh boy, she's easing away from the other pair, although the Brazilian coming battered her now. Marinho has run his fantastic final 100 there to hand over in the lead. Ireland in second, Great Britain in third on this third leg.
But I've got to say, the Irish athletes, Maudsley has done very, very well to still be really on her shoulder, which is 50 metres to go. And in fact, she's actually taking the lead as she hands over to Thomas Barr in the lead for Ireland.
There's a real knack to keeping your effort for the home straight in these relays, but going fast not enough to not give the others any real hope. As Barr kicks into the straight, Dos Santos from Brazil now lengthens his stride. Thompson for Great Britain trying to get through, and on the inside, Dominican Republic coming through. Sue Ogando. It's Brazil, Dominican Republic, Ireland and Great Britain in third and fourth. The winning time, 3:16.49. That is quick. It's quicker than Italy. It's the fastest time in the world this year. Wow.
Look at these times. Look at Ireland. They've actually run one of the quickest times here this evening, and they will take a place in tomorrow night's final.
Which is this evening at 6:20 Irish time. The national record for the Ireland quartet, 3:16.84 when finishing third in that semi-final heat, but they're the fourth quickest overall. Let's hear from the quartet then when they appeared in the mix zone after that memorable race last night, starting with North Sligo AC's Christopher O'Donnell.
We just came here with so much belief. Like I was saying, a few other countries might have seen our name and they might have got scared, but all four of us, the whole team, like we knew we were coming here with a really strong team, and we just believed in ourselves and we absolutely believed we can make the final. And yeah, it's a really good night for Irish athletics. We're on the map now, so I'm really looking forward to the years to come.
Brilliant. And Phil, I know you're probably going to Tokyo regardless, but now you'll be going there with a team as well. How does that feel?
No, it's absolutely super that the mixed team have qualified. Like in 2016, the men came so close to making that Olympic spot, but to come out and get the qualification, like we've an unreal team of four here. There's also two great souls back in the warm-up area, so like it's great to have a squad coming here, the opportunity to have it, and to get that spot in the Olympics is just unbelievable.
Brilliant. And Charlene, a 51.86 play on that third leg. Where did that come from?
Oh, God knows. I've been training really hard the last 6 weeks with my coach and my training partners, and the guys really made me believe in myself today. So when Phil handed me over that baton in first place, I just gave it everything I possibly could, and we qualified for the Olympics. So
yeah, and obviously, I know you'll be hunting the individual qualifications as well, but to have that confirmed that you are now going to be an Olympian, how does that feel?
It genuinely, it just means the world to me.
Brilliant. And Thomas, you brought it home with a brilliant 45 split on that last leg. How was that?
It was, do you know what? I was put in such a good position. There was no work left for me to do. And to be honest, when I saw how well Chris got out, handed over to Phil, Phil got an overtake in the first 50-60 metres and got us into first place. Charlene got me in the lead from the very first changeover, and our changeovers were solid. Like, I like chasing. So I was not in a place where I was, you know, I knew what to do. But it was a savage run. Like, we knew what we could do. It was just a matter of trying to get that out on the day, and I'm absolutely buzzing. We have seriously run out of our skin, came here to do what we wanted, and that was to get an Olympic qualifier. And huge thanks as well to Sophie and Andrew, who warmed up with us. We have a seriously strong team in this group of six at the moment, and all it's going to do is drive us on now towards the Olympics. It's a fantastic start to the season, a springboard. As you can tell, we're all buzzing, and it's a savage way to start our season.
Certainly is. That's the voice of Thomas Barr, himself an Olympic finalist over the hurdles 5 years ago in Rio. And before that, Charlene Maudsley, Phil Healy and North Sligo's Christopher O'Donnell after their momentous run and getting that qualifying time for Tokyo last night. Christopher, of course, is based out of Loughborough University these days in the UK. But let's talk to somebody much closer to home. His home coach for a number of years now, of course, has been former Irish international runner Roddy Gaynor, who joins us on the line. Roddy, you must have enjoyed that last night.
Oh, awesome. It was just absolutely fantastic to watch and to witness, you know, just for everybody in Ireland to see four of our, great athletes to come together like that to take on the world's best and not just take them on, to kind of give it to them and to qualify, like for perspective, Austin, that those four athletes in the team, when they went into this World Championships, there was 24 teams entered. Ireland were not ranked time-wise in the top 15 heading in there. But the team that was put together, like you're talking about, Tom Barr, who's our greatest ever 400-meter hurdler, Phil Healy, who's the greatest ever Irish female sprint star, and two amazing young, kind of superstars of the future with Chris O'Donnell and Charlene Maudsley. So, they knew, and you could even, when you listen to particularly Chris in the interviews there, that they had that belief in themselves that they could do this. They needed to run at the very best possible. There was no margin for error whatsoever. They needed to run each and every one of them the very best they could to actually get to achieve what they did. And it's just terrific to come away with the fourth fastest time on the night, and that puts them probably ranked, in the top four or five in the world this year. Now, obviously, you got the likes of the Americans who didn't travel those championships have already qualified, but it's just a great achievement. And, that the team that was behind Ireland last night, the Great Britain team, they were seriously strong team, very, very well fancied, and beat them well.
Did you have a sense that this might happen this weekend? I mean, I'll put my hand up. I wasn't paying too close attention to the world relays this weekend, between other things. But people close to the Ireland runners who were out there, did you have a sense this weekend that something like this might be on the cards?
Well, I certainly did. But the level of uncertainty that's been in sport, of course, for the last year has been for everybody at every level, and that goes all the way through from local sport up to international sport has been immense. And so this World Relays was penciled in, but who knew what stuff was going to be like back Christmas time? He didn't know. And then there was a clear indication that when the European indoors went ahead in Poland, a month or so ago, that yes, this should happen. And then with the vaccination program, clarity started coming. But that was important for these athletes to then see. So when you have people like Phil Healy and Tom Barr, who are very strong candidates to qualify in their own events for the Olympics, stepping up and saying, we're making a firm commitment to this particular relay, which is a new event, as you know, Austin, the mixing the two men and two women. That along with having Chris, Charlene, and I should mention, you also in the squad, you have Sophie Becker and Andrew Mellon, it's strong. And so therefore, as I said to you earlier, that they needed to perform at the highest level. But my belief, if they did, is that they would really put it in the mix with all those great teams.
I was interested in Tom Barr's answer there in the Mixed Zone interview we heard a few moments ago, where he admitted he was a little surprised that he found himself in front going into the final leg because of the great work done by Charlene Maudsley, Phil Healy and Chris's start in the first leg. He said he likes to chase in these sort of events, and suddenly he was at the front making the running.
Well, anybody who watches relays, particularly the 4x400-meter relay, it is very tactical. And so the thing was, Chris got such an amazing start. That first leg is probably the more difficult leg because technically you have to run a 500-meter stagger. So a normal 400-meter race is a 400-meter stagger. They all come equal on the home straight. But for the 4x400, it's a 500-meter stagger. So they have to run it. First runner runs a little bit around the bend, and then the second runner has the 400-meter stagger. So, if you're watching it on TV, it can be confusing to see who actually is in front or not. But at the handoff, Chris handed marginally off in second place. So he was right there with the Brazilian guy. That's a crack Brazilian team. So as it came around, on that last leg, it becomes the same tactical scenario back to my old race of the 800, and that you want to be one out, one back. That's where you want to be, chasing on the shoulder of the leader, so that you're placing yourself in a position to attack them off the final bend. And that's what Tom, where he found himself in the front. But you can't. I mean, Tom ran 45.4 in that final leg last night. That's world class.
Yeah.
And Hebe didn't go that hard, they may not have got the fast time that was needed to get them to Tokyo. So I think Tom's performance was amazing. He was set up a little bit to be attacked by the Brazilian and the Dominican guy off the home straight, but it was a terrific performance.
And what was great last night, from an Irish perspective, for anybody who watched it live online, I watched it back on YouTube this morning, Roddy, the cameras lingered on the Irish quartet for quite a while after the race, when it became clear and they were looking up at the screen, you could see it was dawning on them, that time is inside the Olympic standard, we've got the time, and they were being congratulated by one or two of the few people who were inside the stadium. I mean, there was no crowd, obviously, but it was fortuitous from an Irish perspective that the cameras lingered with the Irish team for quite so long.
There's no doubt about that. Look, we're all looking for, everybody throughout this whole COVID period are looking for great stories. And the World Athletics Championships, who ran the event, the TV event through YouTube last night, they could see what was happening with the Irish team. They could see the excitement level. And, you know, Jenny Meadow, as you heard her commentary, they're tapping into this enthusiasm that came through, particularly from Chris and from Charlene. And I think that's the big reason why the cameras stayed with them to show that excitement. And if anyone didn't get a look at that, it's still available to watch back on the World Relay Championships. Maybe you can post that up afterwards.
We will, surely. We will. It's well worth looking at.
Well worth really having a look at. Yeah. And, you know, like, Chris has slowly pushed forward to be, you know, a really top international athlete now. He's been the number one 400-meter runner now for the last three seasons. But the thing listeners should realize is this is only the beginning for Christopher O'Donnell. He's, you know, he's going to the Olympics now with this relay team. But in 4 years' time, Chris will be there representing Ireland in his own individual events. You know, he's about another 3, 4, 5 years away from where we will be thinking about where he's starting to get into his peak. You know, so and that's a very exciting prospect. He really is ready to launch. The next number of years, well, Chris, he has full intentions to go become a full-time athlete once he finishes.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to talk to him, Roddy, since the run last night?
Yes, we spoke this morning. I spoke with himself and Charlene's very good friends with Christopher. So I was talking to the two of them together and they're absolutely buzzing. They really can't believe.
Did he think it was a dream?
The dream come true for young athletes like that. There was a lot of uncertainty about Charlene's position in so far as it looked like Sophie Becker was probably going to be a starter up until the championship. But unfortunately, Sophie has had an injury. That's so close to all of these athletes, you know, the risk of injury. And so Charlene stepped in. She has fantastic pedigree anyways and really delivered on the night. But yeah, it was terrific.
And finally, Roddy, I mean, just from your own perspective, I mean, you've worked with Chris for so many years here before he went to Loughborough, and you keep in touch with him when he comes home for his little periods away. You know, this was all pre-COVID, of course. But I mean, when you've met up with him, I'm sure, on a cold wintry morning there on the athletics track there at the community centre outside Grange or at the athletics arena in IT Sligo, you know, when you look back to those sessions you've had over the years to where he is today, what do you think this means to him this weekend?
This means everything. I mean, anybody who knows Chris will know the dedication that this guy has had. It's scary beyond belief, really. So I would have started being involved with Chris when he's about 14, 15 years of age. At that stage, when he realized that athletics was going to be his thing, he then says, right, this is the way. He had made that decision as a teenager, that this is the life I want. This is the commitment I made. So all over the years, no matter what was asked for him, he always kind of stepped up in terms of the training and the commitment. You know, he's now 22 years of age. He never drank. He has no interest in that. He has totally dedicated his life. From the get-go, his whole approach to his nutrition, his lifestyle, everything is focused on to maximize his ability and what he can squeeze out of the sport. And it's a testament to Chris that he's got to the stage, you know. So his full-time coach now at Loughborough is Mike Baker, has been for the last couple of seasons. Mike has been doing an absolutely fantastic job with Chris. So I am in touch with Mike kind of on a weekly basis, you know. As you get to heading towards full-time athletes, you really need to have a team of people around them. And I kind of provide strong mentoring role for Chris now at this stage. But I can't pass by also saying Chris's parents, you know, Phil and Heidi O'Donnell, have been amazing from the start. You know, when they saw the talent that Chris had, again, the support structures and that the Phil and Heidi have given as parents to Christopher over the years has been immense. So I'm not surprised that he's getting to the stage where he's at. He's just one of those individuals that is, he's going to make it happen because he's got that great belief and desire to do so. Very similar to our other Grange athlete who's going to be in the Olympics, Mona McSharry, that same trait in relation to sheer dedication and belief is a common thing between the two of them.
It certainly is. We better let you go down the village now, Roddy, and put up that Ireland's Olympic Village sign for the entrance into Grange. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on this special weekend for Christopher O'Donnell today.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
Let's go back to Grange and talk to people who follow athletics very, very closely in North Sligo because they are members and key members of the North Sligo Athletic Club, and they'll be proud to see that one of their own is going to be on the plane this summer to the Tokyo Olympics. Conor McCann is a well-known coach with North Sligo AC. He's the registrar, assistant secretary. I think he has four or five different hats. Mary Gilmartin is chairperson of North Sligo AC. And Michael Carney is simply Mr. Athletics when you think North Sligo. Michael, good afternoon to you. A penny for your thoughts, please, this special weekend.
Good afternoon, Austin. Oh, we're absolutely delighted now to have two members of the athletic club in going to Tokyo, as Mona McSharry was also a member for several years of our club. But we're absolutely delighted after last night's performance. It just was unbelievable.
Michael, you've been nurturing a young athletes in the North Sligo region for years and years and years. Did you think you would see a day like this?
Well, I suppose you always hope that you will have an Olympian in your club. That's the dream, I suppose, of any coach or any official in a club, that, you know, somebody, something great will happen. And at last, I suppose, after, 44 years, that dream has been realised, to have an Olympian in our club. So we're over the moon. We're over the moon to have somebody in achieve that greatness.
What are your earliest memories of athletics in North Sligo?
Well, I suppose we'll go back to 1977 when our club was formed, I suppose, and there was huge enthusiasm from the parents because there wasn't a tradition of athletics in North Sligo. It was community games, I suppose, was a thing. It had been formed a few years earlier, but there was no tradition of athletics in the area. So Paddy Ward, he was a local sergeant, and he started the club. He called parents together and formed the club in 1977. And from there, it has spread, and there has been many great people down the years that have put in an awful lot of work into our club. People like Marie Mullen, who was secretary for many years, and Trisha O'Hara, they put in a huge amount of work. And Porrick Leonard was a great man for sport and athletics and involved at the administration level. And the late Paddy Brennan, he was very much involved in our club for many years. And I suppose we have to think about them people who've, you know, put in the work in the past. And, you know, it's great that most of them are around to see the realisation of what they done, like, coming to fruition. So it's great now that Chris has achieved that ultimate aim of any athlete, I suppose.
Well, that's for sure. Let's bring in Mary Gilmartin, who's chairperson of North Sligo Athletic Club. You must be walking 12 feet tall today, Mary.
Well, I hope Christopher is anyway, Austin. And I suppose, above anything, congratulations to Christopher. I suppose none of us know, it's great, you know, the success, but, you know, he's worked very hard for many years and he's stuck it out, probably times when he thought he'd do better and didn't, and he's kept going. So I think it's huge congratulations to him for, you know, the discipline and hard work, and congrats to his family as well. I'm sure they're absolutely thrilled. They've all been there supporting him all the way as well. So it's fantastic.
And I know we are still in the middle of a pandemic, folks, but it must create a lovely buzz, albeit socially distanced, and a lot of it online this weekend, when word came through last night that he and the Ireland Quartet had got the time. Mary?
Absolutely. Sure, look, I think there was plenty of screaming around Grange, especially over in Newtown, and plenty of WhatsApp messages going over and back. And I'm sure Mona and the McSharries were watching it as well. Delighted to have somebody else on the plane to Tokyo.
Well, indeed, that's for sure. Let's bring in Conor McCann as well, who's a well-known coach with North Sligo AC. Conor, I've seen you over the years coaching kids, whether it's at the community centre in Grange or behind the dunes at Streeta Beach. Your next underage coaching session, you won't need much motivation for your young athletes.
No, that's true, Austin. It's going to be very easy now on Tuesday night to get them all motivated. A text went round shortly afterwards saying, I think we'll have to take the relay batons out on Tuesday. It's a special moment for the club and for the area. I suppose as a general sports fan as well as an athletics fan, your life is punctuated by sporting memories. And the first thing that came to mind for me was when the time flashed up and we knew that the team had qualified, it was that kind of George Hamilton in Genoa were there moment. You know, it was really, really special to me. It's up there with that. It's up there with Sonia winning silver in Sydney, because it's such a personal thing that somebody from your area and from your club has qualified for the Olympics, you know. And similarly, when tuned into Mona there 2 weeks ago to see her heat, it's emotional to see it happen. Like, you know, it's they're in the top percentage in the world of their sport, and sometimes athletics maybe and individual sports don't get the recognition they deserve from the general public, but it's a massive achievement for Christopher and Mona, and you know, we're very proud of them.
So what's the secret, guys? Michael Carney, what are you feeding these young athletes up in North Sligo that's resulting in this wonderful international success?
Well, I don't know. I suppose we're just lucky, but I think success breeds success, and you know, I suppose we have to think of Mary Cullen. Mary, you know, was one of the big stars, I suppose, that started it up. You know, winning national championships and then running world championships in the world cross country. In 1999, she ran in the world cross country in Belfast. And then she went in European championships, several European cross country championships. And then as a senior, when she went to the States, she blossomed under Ray Tracy in Providence. And you know, won national seniors and won the NACAs and won a medal in the European Indoor Championships in 2009 in the 3000. And she broke the Irish indoor record, which she still has. So I think, you know, it's from that type of thing. You know, as I said, success breeds success. And Mary inspired a lot of people to, you know, to believe in yourself and you can achieve great things.
Well, that's for sure. And Mary, finally, will you have to redesign the North Sligo athletic singlet now? Maybe put 5 Olympic rings on the crest?
Oh, you never know. Might have to consult with Michael on that. But yeah, look, we're just so happy. You know, we're happy for the village. It's fantastic. It's great to have this, you know, during this pandemic. And we're delighted for Christopher and his family.
Well, that's for sure. Well, guys, thank you for taking the calls this afternoon at such short notice, and enjoy the glow, I think, that will emanate across the community on the back of Christopher and Mona achieving Olympic qualification in recent days. Conor McCann, Mary Gilmartin and Michael Carney from North Sligo Athletic Club. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Austin.
Thanks, Austin.
Thanks, Austin.
We're on 083 3500 530 by text or WhatsApp, and I am going to read out some of your messages because they have been coming in just a few moments. And so many people, as Conor mentioned there, volunteers behind the scenes who have helped out the success. And of course, the North Sligo operation is an extensive one, because as well as a base in Grange, there's one in Oxfield in North Sligo too. And I know that coaches like Brian and Christina McBride among others, will be delighted to see Christopher O'Donnell in a North Sligo singlet qualifying for the Olympic Games. I remember being coached by Michael O'Boyle running up and down Tully Hill for North Sligo many moons ago. They were ferocious training sessions in the dead of winter nights, let me tell you. Anyway, you might have your own North Sligo or athletics memories in general. 083 3500 530 is the number to text or WhatsApp. We thought we might broaden this out a little bit because it's not just the athletics community in North Sligo who are basking in this success this weekend. The wider sporting community in Grange, Cliffney, Maharau, North Sligo are celebrating as well. Among them, the chairperson of St. Milosh Gaels GAA Club, Sean Herron.
There's one thing about this area that, you know, down through the years, this is a fantastic community area, fantastic community spirit. It doesn't really matter what code it is or what's going on. North Sligo, the Grange, people in that area get together and there's great community spirit within this area. And we're just delighted here, St. Milosh Gaels. Of the success of both Mona and Christopher qualifying for the Olympics in Tokyo, which were on in July and August of this year. So we're over the moon. We're delighted. We're very proud of them. And what more can we say? Like, you know, absolutely over the moon.
Yeah, I mean, it is a sports mad part of the world. I mean, you talk about your own Milosh Gaels. You were involved previously helping out with Ben Bulbin FC Soccer Club. You know, you've got the athletics, the community centre. There is a sporting richness around the place, isn't there?
There is often, and there's that many. There is an awful lot of sporting organisations in that area, in our area, and we're really blessed. But I suppose today would be, I suppose, a very apt day to acknowledge the contribution of all the volunteers that we have for all the organisations within the area. What I do with these volunteers, giving up the free time to coach, to sit on administrations and different committees, to fundraise, to provide, I suppose, the coaching, the skills, the facilities for these children to learn and develop their skills. Without these people, there would be no Mona McSharries, there'd be no Christopher O'Donnell, because it's all about community and volunteers, as I said. And look, a big event today, they should be very proud of, you know, of this achievement today as well, you know.
And I'm just wondering, Sean, finally, I mean, you know, St. Milosh Gaels are putting the finishing touches to their new pitch redevelopment there at Monsignor Hines Park. And when you have young footballers now returning to play, and when you bring them back for your Saturday morning or your coaching midweek or at the weekends, you know, I mean, might you be able to use these role models in some way that you can say, hey, look, you know, Mona McSharry, a few hundred yards out the road there, is going to the Olympics. Christopher O'Donnell, who probably kicked the odd bit of football in his youth too, on your pitch. You know, that's got to be a useful tool for the next generation of sports athletes coming through.
It is indeed, often, like, you know, both Mona and Christopher, and just I also want to mention Luke Tubby over there in Australia, football there, and young Shemiko are also from Grange to play in their trail at a very high level at the moment. These are great ambassadors for the area. Christopher and Mona is there today. Great ambassadors for the area. They've set a great example, and they have shown the youth and the young people around this area that dreams can come true if you're willing to work hard, you're committed, dedicated. And I'm sure they had very difficult decisions, you know, leaving families and friends to pursue their careers. But it's all worked out. So that is a great example for us as a club to be able to pass that message on to the younger generation. Listen, guys, anything is achievable.
Am I right in thinking you used to help Christopher's dad coach one of the soccer teams back in the day? So you saw a very young Christopher O'Donnell in the early years of his sporting development.
Yeah, Austin, I did help us. I don't know whether Philip would say it was help or not, but I was there anyway. But no, Christopher had even then, Christopher had a fantastic turn of pace. You know, if you had a team playing high, the back four playing high, knocked the ball in behind, Christopher's gone, you know, it was a goal. Fantastic ball skills, footballing skills too, you know, and he wasn't just a runner. He could play football. He could breeze past people. Even at that early stage, Christopher had an unbelievable turn of pace. And you know yourself, in football, 10 or 15 yards, explosive pace, that was fantastic. And in fairness, I suppose, to Christopher, he decided to, you know, go down the route of athletics. And look, at everybody at the time wished him the best. And we hoped that he would reach his goal. And he has done that. And we're very, very proud of him. Yeah, it's a fantastic achievement.
You're going to have to start a campaign now, Sean Hearn, finally, to have Gaelic football declared an Olympic sport. Maybe you can get a few more Olympians in future games.
Yeah. Also, look at like every other organisation there, we're doing our best, and hopefully, you know, and just on behalf of St. Bernard's Gaelic, we'd just like to congratulate Aidan and Viola, Mona's mum and dad, and her family, Philip and Heidi, Christopher's mum and dad, I suppose, the swimming club in Ballyshannon, the Marion club in Ballyshannon, the North Sligo Athletic Club, everybody involved with both of these fantastic young people. Take a bow. We're very, very proud of you, and we're all rooting for both Christopher and Mona in July at the Tokyo Olympics.
I'm sure they are and will be. That's Sean Hearn from the St. Meloche Gaels GAA Club in Grange. As Sean mentioned there, Christopher was a handy soccer player in his youth and might have got somewhere with that, but he was drawn towards the athletics and went for that. The current Benbulbin FC soccer chairman is Gray McMullen.
It's an amazing achievement for the likes of Chris, and it's great to show the kids in the area that they can dream these things and progress towards them. And Grange has a lot of sports there on offer. We have very much a wide range of sports between the Benbulbin Football Club, Meloche Gaels, the athletics, the swimming, the surfing, the cycling. So it's a great area to grow up in with all these available on our doorstep.
Well, that's for sure. And we gather Chris was a noted soccer player in his day, in his early years. He obviously leaned towards the running in the end, but was handy enough on the soccer pitch as well. I'm just wondering, Graham, more generally, say for your younger and youngest Benbulbin FC footballers, you know, as you return to play these weeks and bring them back coaching, what might the ripple effect of this be when they see that two local people just down the road from where they live will be heading to the Summer Olympic Games? That's got to be inspiring for the next generation of young sports player coming through in the area.
Yeah, well, it's that case. I'm sure that there'll be various young people there who will think, well, if they can do it, I can do it. They're from my area. I'm from this area. That's it. It'll hopefully give them the confidence to do their best and progress.
And Benbulbin FC going well. Of course, we know local players there have gone on from strength to strength. The likes of Southampton, Shamey Keogh, and lots of other underage players, male and female, representing at local regional level as well. So it's a healthy environment by the sounds of things down there at the moment.
Yeah, we have a lot of members now in the club. I think we're nearly about 300 or so. The girls are going from strength to strength. The boys have always been very strong. But the kids are coming along. They're delighted to be back. They're having fun. They're getting out in the fresh air. They're staying safe. It's great to see.
Gray McMullen, chairperson of Benbulbin FC Soccer Club in North Sligo, on the qualification of Christopher O'Donnell and Mona McSharry for the Olympics. Some of your texts and comments to 083-3500-530. Huge congratulations to Christopher and his team and to Mona on such a massive achievement. All of North Sligo and the entire county are immensely proud of you both. We'll be behind you every step and stroke of the way. That's from Marie Cassidy, who shared some nice pictures from the event online following Chris's race last night. Sligo Rovers have been tweeting their congratulations as well to their supporter, Christopher O'Donnell, today. Let's go back to the phone lines as well, because community games in the Cliffney Grange area has been an integral part of the sport nurturing of young runners and athletes for so many years. Donal Gilroy is on the line, who's chairperson of the Cliffney Grange Community Games Committee. Well, this is going to be just the tonic for all the young runners across the parishes of North Sligo for years to come, Donal.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody's just so thrilled for Chris last night and for Mona a few short weeks ago. It's all been building towards this. I suppose they both probably started in their respective sports at community games and were, you know, were led on then to, from strength to strength through the athletic club and through the swimming club. You know, they were, they, but the first seeds were spotted, and I'm sure when Michael Carney, as he has been for the last 30 years, was on the finishing line, when he saw Christopher O'Donnell coming through maybe 15 or 18 years ago, he knew he was looking at something special, and Michael would always have an eye for them. You know, Sligo, I suppose, as you know, we had the disappointment a number of years ago. We all wanted to see Mary Cullen make it to the Olympics, and unfortunately just things didn't go right for Mary, and she's such a wonderful athlete. On Friday morning I was heading for work at about 6:30, 7, and I seen her running through Drumcliff. You know, the commitment that these athletes give, and Mona and Chris have done that as well. And I suppose Sligo had their first Olympic involvement in 1924, a guy called John Joe Dykes from Sligo. He actually played for Athlone Town at the time, was playing soccer for Ireland. And I believe we haven't had an Olympian from Sligo since. So to have two from one parish and two others, I believe, from Sligo, one in diving and one in surfing, who may go forward to the Olympics, it's just a wonderful achievement. I suppose I heard you there earlier asking what were they feeding the athletes down here to produce them. And I suppose the feeding started back in the time when we had Eamon Ford in the post-primary school and Aidan McGowan in the primary school, and they were pushing people on in athletics and all those sorts of things, and sports. And like, we had a village with that, even though they were all outdoors at the time when we were growing up, there was basketball nets, there was volleyball nets, there was all these different things available to within the community, was available to us all. And that grew in the mid-80s when a group of people came together with an idea of building a sports complex, and Michael Carney was the driving force behind that too. And there was a lot of other people involved. I was involved in it myself as a young man, and, you know, there was £100 tickets sold, and everyone in the community got behind it. And that's where it all came from, the work that was done by those people. And when we think of people who go out every year, when we were running the community games about a week before the event every year, there's a group of volunteers who come out and clean the track and get it ready and put up the posts and put up the rope around the pitch and all that sort of stuff. And those people can stand tall today, that they played a part in getting an Olympian to the community, you know, from the community games to the stage they're at. And I just want to congratulate Chris and congratulate Mona and Aidan and Viola and Philip and Heidi and, you know, the extended McSharry family, O'Donnell family, Winkler family. You know, they must all be so proud, because everybody in the community is just buzzing with pride. I think Grange is going to be renamed the Olympic Village.
Indeed. One final thought, Donald. You know, I'm sure there are other communities listening who will say, well, we've had, you know, great sportswomen and men, and there are lots of other examples. I suppose what makes this slightly more unusual, and I'm going to name four names to you here, is that there's kind of a sporting breakthrough here all at the same time. So Mona McSherry in the pool qualifying for the Olympics, Christopher O'Donnell this weekend on the track qualifying for the Olympics. You've got soccer player Shamie Keogh from the same neck of the woods playing Premier League in the Premier League environment with Southampton. You've Luke Towie, whose stock is growing by the week by all accounts with the Gold Coast Lions down under in the Australian rules football. In Australia, you know, it doesn't happen too often that four like that happen kind of in the same era.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, I describe myself as the luckiest chairman ever to walk into a job, because this work was done, as I say, back to the 80s, back when, you know, you described the running up the Tully Hill. I remember the cross-country races, and Michael Carney tried his best with me as well as a youngster, running through the Borough and Strija, and they still do that today. But all this, it takes time. It takes time. And when the founders of the soccer club in Grange in the early 80s, and my own brother was heavily involved, and when they founded that, little did they know that someone like Shamie had come along in the future. But I suppose there were, you know, it was always the hope that there would be success. The GA Club, the people who founded the GA Club in Grange, both Grange GA Club, and then when it amalgamated with Cliffany and Maharau and became Milosh Gaels, the people that have worked so hard for that, and the people, and I suppose even to mention, you know, and Mary was on, I think she's the secretary of the athletics club, but the Community Games has a wonderful secretary, Shamie Keogh's mother, Catherine, who is involved hugely in the athletics club and spends her time standing down there on the winter's evenings on the track, working with the kids, bringing them along. Thomas Kilfeather is secretary of the GAA club, and the work he does, you know, years ago when there was nobody to pay a bill for anyone to mark out a pitch or to cut a pitch, Thomas was down there doing it. And it's these people, and they can all stand in glory today, because they're a little bit, and we can all be proud. Anyone who's ever lifted a hand to help us, and nearly everybody in this community has,